Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 466. Any questions, comments, sponsorships, suggestions, please let me know at Rabbi Ismach at Take10forTorah.org. So in this week's Parsha, Parshas Pekudia, we have Moshe giving the full accounting of the Mishkan. And I think I had mentioned last week that there's this notion that a person is supposed to be V'yisem Nikim Mi'Hashem U'Mi'Yisrael, a person is supposed to be above board. You have to be making sure that in all that you do, you look innocent, you haven't done anything wrong, and people shouldn't be saying about you that you did things wrong. And so we could just simply attribute Moshe's accounting of everything that was used for the Mishkan to this idea. He wants to make sure that nobody thinks he did anything wrong, but we know he was dealing with some more serious issues. The Midrashim tell us that when he was recounting where and what everything had been used for, so he had a difficult time accounting for 1,775 shekels. Remember, the silver shekels were given at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. They were given as a tax. Everybody had to give a half shekel. And so, unlike all of the other materials, the fabrics and the dyes and the stones that were given for the Mishkan, that was all nediv libo, that was all given voluntarily. This silver was given in a mandatory way. And it seems that the stuff that was given in a mandatory way needed a particularly more emphatic accounting. People cared where the money had went. And he does this accounting. He unfortunately can't figure out what he does. And finally, the Medrash tells us, he sees that, he remembers that there's little hooks that were the hooks to the fabric covers and to the amudim, the poles, the pillars, and those little hooks were made out of that amount of silver that he could not account for. And so in his pekudim, in his accounting, he finds it out. He's worried, he finds it out. What was he worried about exactly? So the Medrash continues, "V'lama asa imahem cheshbon?" Why does Moshe feel compelled to do this accounting? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we all know Moshe, b'chol beisi neman hu, everybody knows that he's the most trustworthy of people. So unfortunately, Moshe had to deal with something that I think we all have to deal with from time to time, and that is cynics. As the Midrash goes to explain, the people would say about Moshe, hey, looks like he's gained some weight, he looks like, he looks pretty fattened by the donations that perhaps he has been skimming off. And because of those cynics, because of those people who had negative things to say to discount Moshe's integrity, so these cynics were the reason that Moshe was forced to do and to account the way he was. The power of this cynicism is seen a few different times in the Torah, and one of the first ones is when Yitzchak is born. Now Yitzchak, of course, is a complicated birth. Yitzchak is referred to by laughter, and laughter is Avraham's shock that he's going to have a child, and Sarah's somewhat cynical demeanor. She laughs. She doesn't think it's possible. So the Psukim deal with that when Yitzchak is born, and the report of Yitzchak's birth occurs. But we see that Yitzchak always had a little bit of skepticism to his birth. Rashi tells us in Toldos Hila, Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holed etz Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Right? That seems a little bit redundant. Rashi says, as a matter of fact, here's what's going on. The pasuk is reminding us that indeed Avraham was the one who sired Yitzchak, who was the father of Yitzchak. Lefi shahayu litzane hadar omrim, because the cynics of the generation would say, me Avimelech nesabra Sarah. They had this story where Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, took Sarah away from Avraham. And so even though you read in the Psukim that nothing happened between the two of them, so there were cynics who said, they go so many years and they're not able to have a baby, and then suddenly she gets kidnapped by this man, and then, hey, suddenly, what do you know? So the Rashi continues, "Sharikam Hashanim Shahasam Avraham Alunas Abrahimeno." They were together for many years, and there was no baby. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did God do? Tzar Klaster Panav Shel Yitzchak Domal Avraham. He made that the image of Yitzchak, Yitzchak's appearance, was exactly like Avraham's appearance. He looked just like his dad. Ve'hiidu Hakol Avraham Holid Yitzchak. And so it was obvious to all that Avraham was the actual father of Yitzchak. Now this comes up a few times with Yitzchak himself. The irony that Yitzchak, you know, people late Tzanei Hadar would be laughing at Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, the name, the boy who people theoretically would laugh about and who laughed in hearing when he was born and he would be born. It's very ironic, but we have this as well when it refers to Lamoed, that Sarah conceived bears a son to Abraham at the appointed time. So the Rav Yudan explains that it was, Lamoi teaches it was exactly after 9 months, specifically accounting for the pregnancy being the exact proper time for it to be Sarah's baby, so that people shouldn't say that Sarah conceived when she was in the house of Avimelech. As well, we have the reference that Sarah is able to nurse and nurse children. And so Rashi says over there that Sarah's ability to nurse wasn't just for Yitzchak, but she was able to nurse all of the town's women's babies, because people would say the same thing. Hey, this woman is, it's not hers. And that's actually a different argument, not that it's not Sarah's, but that it wasn't her baby, maybe it was somebody else's. And so the cynicism, of course, cuts in every direction, and all of this has to be defended. And you might ask, why in the world does this have to be defended? Literally, God gets involved in defending Abraham and Sarah's dignity to make these quasi-miracles occur, so that Yitzchak looks exactly like Abraham, or that she's able to nurse, or that the timing works exactly right, so that nobody says any one of these damaging things. It tells us a little bit about the nature of cynicism and how damaging it actually is. There are wicked people who are spoken to and ignored all throughout history, but these Leitzana Hadar could be incredibly damaging. There's a line, Leitzana Achas Docha Mea Tochachos. One little joke can undermine 100 rebukes. Sometimes it's very hard to get a rebuke in, particularly when somebody cracks a joke in a serious moment, the rebuke is gone. We find this idea in Sefer Shemos, when Moshe is describing how Kechatzos Halayla Ani Yotzei B'Soch Mitzrayim, he quotes God as saying, about midnight, I will take you out, I will go forth amongst the Egyptians for Makas Bechoros, for the death of the firstborn. But we know, of course, when God first had said it to him, he says, it's going to be at Chatzos, not Kichatzos, about midnight, but at Chatzos. And so Rashi tells us there that the reason it says Kachatzos is Shemashma Samachlo. It sounds like, you know, about Chatzos time. Olafanav, Olaachrav. Maybe a little bit before, maybe a little bit after Vlomer, Bachatzos. It doesn't literally say at Chatzos, because Shemayitu Tagnini Paro Vayomer Moshe Badoyhu. Because the sorcerers of Paro, who have their own clocks, they might have it as 12:01, or they might have it as 11:59, and it won't be exactly 12. And what are people going to do? They're going to say, ah, even though all the firstborn are dead, even though the miracle of God that they said would happen, but because the timing is slightly off, the cynics are going to say that it's of no relevance. It doesn't matter. And so because of the theoretical claim of this same type of cynic who would somehow avoid the importance of the issue and see the silliness and see the minute off, it had to be done in a way that this great miracle would be protected by that, by saying Kachatzos as opposed to Chatzos itself. Now we're coming to the great story of Amalek. Amalek, who is the great villain of the Jewish people, is partly known for their cynicism, meaning the Jews come out of Egypt, and of course with all of the miracles and all of the wind, so to speak, behind them, and Amalek is the one that says, hey, who knows? Who says? Maybe it's Kachatzos, so to speak. Maybe it wasn't God, maybe they all got lucky. Maybe it's just Safek, it's doubt, as everybody says, Amalek is the same gematria, the same numerical value of Safek. There to cause doubt, there to be cynics. We see the dangerous power of cynicism, and people who want to poke holes in things have the ability to do so. I want to conclude, actually, with what's a very well-known Gemara in Megillah about Haman, which obviously has the same nature of Amalek, as he was a descendant thereof. So the Gemara says that there was nobody who was able to speak Lashon Hara, Lishna Bisha Kahaman. He explains how he is going to, or why he is motivated to destroy the Jewish people. So Ahasuerus is worried. He's worried about the logistics. He's worried about the practical ramifications of destroying all the Jews. He says, I'm worried about their God. He says, don't worry. They're not worshiping properly. They have yeshno min ha-mitzvos. They no longer observe the mitzvos. Okay? But they have rabbis. He says, no, I'm echad heim. And he says, they're unified. And because they're unified, then that unification means that it's one for all for one. And even if they have rabbis with merit, it won't matter. Then Ahasuerus says, maybe I'm going to tear a bald spot in my malchus. I'm going to have some location that won't have any people left because all the Jews are going to be killed. It says, mefuzarin heim bein ha'amim. No, they're spread out. So ironically, they are am echad, but they are at the same time mefuzar. Haman will say or do anything. Shema tamar is hanaminayu. Maybe you'll say we have some benefit from the Jews. Maybe they pay taxes or something like that. No, mefurad, they don't make any peros. They don't produce. Maybe you're going to say, shema tamar ikum medinasa minayu. Maybe you're going to say there's one country that has them all and will lose. Goes on and on and on, describing every possible claim that you can have. Haman had to poke a hole. Every claim you could imagine, even if they were contradictory, Haman had to say. Haman was the great cynic from a line of great cynics, which was ultimately the nation of Amalek, which is why they're such severe enemies of the Jewish people. Because if somebody can't find the positive and is always looking for the negative, Moshe will have to account for it, and everybody ultimately will have to account for it. Have a great day.